Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, text 6 and then 7 also, but we'll chant 6 together. Nanvaham te yavaraja. Dina hatasuta prabho. Datum arhasi mandaya. Angemam charamam prajam. Nanvaham te yavaraja. Dina hatasuta prabho. Datum arhasi mandaya. Angemam charamam prajam. Aham. I am. He. Your. He. Indeed. Avaraja. Younger sister. Dina. Very poor. Hatasuta. Deprived of all children. Prabhu. O my Lord. Datum arhasi. You deserve to give. Some gift. Mandaya. To me who am so poor. Anga. My dear brother. Imam. This. Charamam. Last. Prajam. Child. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, at least. My lord, my brother, I am very poor, being bereft of all my children. But still I am your younger sister, and therefore would be worthy of you to give me this last child as a gift. There's no purport. I'll read the next verse. Sri Shuko Vacha Upa. That's okay. Don't read it. Upaguyatma Jam Evam Rudatya Dina Dina Vat Yachitas Tam Vinir Bartsya Astad Achichide Koloha. Translation. Sugadev Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying. Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Purport. Although Devaki was crying like a very poor woman, actually she was not poor, and therefore the word used here is Dina Vat. Vat? What's Vat? It's Avyaya. It's undeclined suffix meaning like. Like poor. She had already given birth to Krishna. Therefore, who could have been richer than she? Even the demigods had come to offer prayers to Devaki. But she played the part of a poor, piteously afflicted woman because she wanted to save the daughter of Yashoda. Okay. In this world, women are very much attached to their children. This is a biological conditioning. It's, I don't know how exactly it's done, but it's programmed into the genes. Even the animals, who don't really have much of a social consciousness, but still, in some species, not all, the mother is very protective of the child. And if the child dies, the animal mother laments. They have these feelings. And in the human species, the mothers can also express great or feel great attachment for their children. And in the loss of a child, a mother suffers very much. But this is all illusion, material conditioning. There is no real relationship between the child and the mother. They have come together circumstantially by the arrangement of their prarabdha karma. They don't have any eternal relationship with one another. The description is given that living entities in this world come together like flotsam, like pieces of grass in the river, in a mighty flowing river. The clumps of grass bump into each other and stay together for some time, and then they're pulled apart again. You know, if you meet somebody circumstantially, then you really have no business with them. You know, just like you want to get married, so you go to the astrologer to see whether there's actually compatibility or really, you know, any real connection between you and the prospective spouse. But the astrologer may look at the chart and say that you two people have nothing to do with each other. You know, you'll have no more relationship than if you passed someone in a busy train station and didn't even look at them and walked by them. That's the kind of, you know, just like, you know, two people who just happen to look at each other by chance in a busy train station and never see each other again in their whole lives. That's the connection. That much affinity you actually have with that person. But actually, our very tight family relationships are just the same thing. Only the chance connection goes on for a little longer. For 20 or 40 or 60 years, we feel great attachment to someone and we think that this person is my father, my mother, my brother. But it actually, it's just a little more real than the relationship you have with the person who you pass in the train station and glance at him once and never see him again in your life. It's a chance connection. It's not random, but it's all under law of nature. But you two people, your mother and you, have nothing really to do with each other. We're in ignorance, so we don't understand that. We feel attachment to our mother, and our mother feels even more attachment to us, to the point where she won't let us live our life. But that's all illusion. One who is liberated, one who is in transcendental consciousness, sees through this illusion and is not affected by it. A pure devotee, even if he is a mother, she is a mother, she doesn't feel this kind of animal attachment, you know, that's built into the genes of all animals. She doesn't act just like a human animal, with instinct of protection of the child. A transcendentalist, rather a liberated devotee, rises above that illusory consciousness. Of course, the devotee mother, it's not that there's no love, but there's no undue attachment. Even if the child dies, the mother sees it transcendentally, if she's transcendentally situated. I'm not talking about immature devotees. Immature devotees will suffer to the extent of their immaturity. But a mature devotee will not suffer even if the child dies. She understands Krishna has taken back this child. Actually understands it. That the child is in Krishna's hands. He lives or he dies. Krishna is under Krishna's control. And if Krishna lets the child die, it's for some good reason. And therefore she doesn't lament. Devaki is not only a pure devotee, but one of the greatest devotees in the Vatsalya Rasa. This Vatsalya Rasa is not a cheap thing to start with. It is rare. It is rare to become intimately connected with Krishna in any of the moods of Vrindavan. Most devotees in Vaikuntha cannot appreciate it. It is so rare. And Krishna has many servants. He has a few friends, really close friends. Those friends are very rare. But even more rare than the mood of a close friend to Krishna is the mood of a parent. There are the older gopis and cowherd men in Vrindavan. They feel a kind of parental connection with Krishna. But it's, you know, vicarious. He only has a few real parents. Vasudev and Yashoda. Vasudev and Devaki in Mathura. And Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. These are his parents. The other elder gopas and gopis, they feel also that kind of mood, but they're not directly his parents. This Vatsalya Rasa is very rare. And there's only a few who actually can become, literally, Krishna's parents. Devaki must be extremely realized. There's no question of her suffering material attachment. Even though six of her children have been murdered by Kamsa, one after another, this did not affect her in any material way. The helplessness she's expressing now, talking about herself as somebody to be pitied, and she's expressing herself like that. This is actually part of the transcendental pleasure pastime. Krishna has pleasure pastimes. That's one translation given, I think, by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Leela, translated as pleasure pastimes. We have, in our material life, we have a different kind. We have misery pastimes. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't indulge in misery. You know, he doesn't take any pleasure out of misery the way we do. We have misery pastimes. But God has only pleasure pastimes. Even in the form of Lord Ramachandra. It looks like a very miserable story from the outside. But that means we don't understand it properly. God never suffers. He's never unhappy. Even in the form of Lord Ramachandra. Even though it's such a pathetic story. And even though this story of what happened to Devaki and Vasudev with their children, it looks pathetic, but it's not. They're not suffering and there's nothing to be pitied. It's a transcendental show. These are transcendental ecstasies being displayed. We should not think of them as material. She's calling herself Dina, Dina, the poorest of the poor. And yeah, it's a woman who's had her children taken away from her and murdered. She might think like that. It's natural. I'm so unfortunate. I've lost not one child, but all of six children. And now this eighth, one child got taken away to Gokula, but now this other child, this girl is here, and she's going to get murdered. So naturally, a woman would think that, yes, I'm the most unfortunate. But there's no question of Devaki being unfortunate, of being poor. Prabhupada says she's the richest of the richest. She has had Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as her son. Oh, if I can remember that verse. It's Kapiladev talking to his mother. No nimisho lady heti. Yesha mahams priya atma sutascha sakar guru daivatam Guru or something, Daivatam Ishtam. The first line I can't remember. My pure devotees, Kapila Dev says, I give them everything, material and spiritual. They are for their sincere surrender and service, I reward them with all benedictions, spiritual and material. And unlike everyone else in this world, my devotees are not deprived of the ever deprived of those opulences, assets. Otherwise, if you're living in this material world, you should know that whatever you have is going to be taken away from you at the time of death. But not the devotees. Devotees have spiritual assets. They have their eternal relationships with Krishna. Not even death can take that away. And even their comforts and their facilities for enjoyment will not be deprived. They will not be deprived of them. When they die, they will go to a better place, to Krishna's eternal kingdom. And they'll enjoy better. Okay, I take away you're eating some dry, unpalatable thing. I'm taking it away from you and give you something better to eat. So you can say I'm depriving you, but I want to replace it with something better. Why are you eating that old stale food from 2 days ago? Let me give you something fresh. So I'm not depriving you. I'm giving you something better. So when the devotees die, they may not be able to transfer their bank account, but they're going to the spiritual world where the ground is strewn with Chintamani jewels. You need wealth, you just pick a pebble off the ground and it's worth millions of dollars. You can get whatever you want. Forget your bank account, you don't need it. So the devotees are not deprived even of their comforts and their opulences, their luxuries. Everything is given to them before and after death. And Kapila Dev goes on to say, no nimisho lady hati. Lady means to lick, to singe. They're not singed by the fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, which comes to cut off the heads of the non-devotees. But the devotees never have to fear of the attack of the Sudarshan weapon. Time, in the form of death, is no threat to the pure devotees. So therefore, Devaki is aware of such. She knows that death is really no danger. For those completely surrendered to Krishna, there's no reason to be fearful of death. If I die, if my children die, this is just Krishna's time energy playing. And I just have to, I have no control over it. We have to just accept it. My 6 children, they have been taken away from me, but Krishna will arrange in the future that I see them again. And actually she does later on. This is the confidence of the devotees. Krishna Rakshasiti Vishwaso. This is a sign of Sharanagati. Surrender. Trust of Krishna. Taking shelter. Krishna Rakshasiti. Krishna will protect me. This is future tense. But this is future not expressing theoretical possibility, but certainty. Krishna will definitely, not maybe, or it says in the Shastra, but I don't really believe it. No, I am confident. Krishna definitely will protect me. And not just, at some time and not other times. This is a universal future. He will always protect me. Vishwasaha, confidence. Devaki is a devotee who has such confidence. She may be acting fearful and pitiful, lamenting, begging for mercy from Kamsa, but this is all just pleasure pastimes. This is the ecstasies of the devotees. What is it? Bibhatsa, not Bibhatsa, this is Karuna Rasa. The rasa of pitifulness. It's also a pleasant taste. There are five major tastes. Each devotee specializes in one of the five major tastes, sometimes with some mixture of one of the or two of the other tastes. But we each have one primary rasa, which is among the five major rasas. Nobody takes one of the seven minor rasas as his main taste. They're always secondary. They're not independent, just like a consonant cannot be pronounced without a vowel. So the minor rasas, like Karuna rasa, can't stand by themselves. They have to be supported by one of the major rasas. So the Vatsalya, major rasa, is here manifesting the variety of Karuna rasa. The mother lamenting for the child. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, Krishna is going away to the forest in the morning. And she is very sad that she won't see his face again until the evening. And therefore she's expressing so much lamentation and actually hindering Krishna from going off with his friends. She's making him, put on his feather properly I haven't packed your lunch yet, wait a few minutes. Out of anxiety, she's trying to keep Krishna from going so early to the forest. Same thing, mother's anxiety. Devaki's lamenting that this child is also going to be murdered like the other six. And Yashoda is lamenting that I'm not going to see Krishna for several hours. It's the same thing. It's a transcendental ecstasy, different varieties. There's nothing to lament for. Unless we want to continue lamenting, unless we like being miserable, better we absorb ourselves in these transcendental pleasure pastimes of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world than keep on, obsessing ourselves with our misery pastimes in the material world. There's no material solution to all your problems anyway. Better just absorb yourself in thinking about Krishna, then you'll be happy. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Arjuna was lamenting?
Or then after also they were killed by the Parsons or
something. And there was a lot, I haven't read that part of the Mahabharata, so there was a lot of lamenting?
He was disturbed. Like,
okay. But that's also transcendental. Also in India, when someone dies, you're expected to lament. It's social custom. If you don't, there's something wrong. Then the people think you're callous. If you don't yell, cry and raise a fuss for several hours or days after someone dies in your family. I saw next door somebody's wife died, and they were screaming and yelling for days, and all their friends and neighbors came from out of town, and I saw it. They'd get off the rickshaw, at the main street, and they were laughing and joking and talking to each other. And when they get near the house, then they start sobbing and lamenting, because they're supposed to, It's only when they get near the house of the dead person, they all start screaming and lamenting, and they have to do it for hours and hours. It's expected of them. That's a social custom in India. I'm not saying that Arjuna was just putting on a show. He was feeling separation from Abhimanyu, but it was not material. It's natural to feel love for your family members, even for a devotee, but for the devotee, the emotion becomes purified. It becomes transformed into something spiritual. The dynamics are actually different, although it may look the same on the outside. Yes, sir. Yes.
He never questioned Krishna, why you not? He could have told me that.
Are you sure? He never complained to Krishna?
He never complained to Krishna.
Okay.
Because Krishna pulled him from the position where he was. Otherwise, he would have been in the position to enter the Chakravarti.
Yes.
So Krishna pulled him aside and put him in a fight with another person.
Yes.
So he didn't question.
Yeah, Arjuna lamented as appropriate. And then he went on with his business. He kept on fighting. And he could have complained to Krishna, but he didn't. Okay. Do it again.
So what makes one emotion to be spiritual and another emotion to be material? I mean, how can we answer if some person may have challenges? You say Arjuna's lamentation was transcendental. So.
When our attractions and repulsions are Krishna conscious, when we're attracted to something because it's something that gives Krishna pleasure, that's spiritual. When we're attracted to something that Krishna doesn't like or is no use for Krishna, or we're attracted to it in such a way that we want to use it for ourselves instead of for Krishna, that's material. And all emotions are based on attraction and repulsion. When those attractions and repulsions are centered on Krishna's pleasure, then they're spiritual. Even the same things, we're attracted to the same thing, but we're attracted to it to use it for Krishna. It becomes spiritual. Well, it may be mixed. We may want to engage our family members in Krishna's service, and at the same time we still have some degree of mundane connection. It can be mixed up while you're still halfway in material consciousness. Then it's not pure. You got devotion, but not pure devotion. And therefore, you may suffer. To the degree you still have material attachment, you can suffer. Okay. All right, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.